All right, Bonnie Gani, everyone. Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, where I taught for 34 years in Africana Studies, or Black Studies when we started. Now it's Africana Studies. Former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you to the Black Conscious Corner, where we just discuss nothing but facts about Black, and that we are really into our consciousness here, our awareness, and the strength and beauty of us as a people, where how far we have come, how far we got to go, and all our achievements and development as a people, and how we, as Jesse Jackson said, from the enslavement ships to the White House and to the being able to excel in major fields. And we want to discuss some critical issues that we face as African people or Black people. African and Black is synonymous. There ain't no such thing as a Black African, because there ain't no other kind. Anyone else say that they're African and they ain't Black, I mean, they just got there to the continent. So we want to get started and discuss some of the issues. The example of our excellence in major fields was definitely exhibited in the World Cup, where 10 African countries qualified to play in the World Cup. And we want to thank those 10 companies. A little small country called Cape Verde, a little island, was the darling of the tournament. And we want to thank all those hundreds of Black athletes and African athletes playing for Spain. We were the youngest superstar playing for Spain. And we had one of the top players who was for England and for even America. We want to thank them for their being able to exemplify the excellence of us as a people on the world stage. And I don't know how many people really appreciated the the African people who played for the French. They were Africans, even though they said they're French. It's like us saying we're American, but Black people, Africans, saying they're Brazilian, saying they're Haitians, saying they're, all of that. But our anthropological origin of existence, meaning the origin of our existence, is the continent of Africa. And you say, well, how can you prove that? Well, there's two types of anthropology, cultural anthropology and physical anthropology. Under physical anthropology, you dig up bones, and the earliest human being, and some say the first human being, was on the continent of Africa, and they were Africans. And I just wanted to throw that out there. But Brother Ahi, did you get a chance to watch any of the World Cup? Ahi?
I did, and I saw how it was a big change in America's team from the last World Cup to this one too, which is probably why they went as far as they did. Because I've never seen, at one time they actually had all brothers on the field, and it was like it was just a big change. And like you said, all over the world, and all the stars were like Black on all the teams, not just the African teams, but I mean like America, England, Spain, France, just we're just the stars, and it's making it's giving the supremacists a real headache, and there have been some gripes about the whites being pushed out the game. But you know, when your competitors I got some 45s, you can't come with a dagger, so you have to go get you some 45s too. So that's what America had to do, and they competed really well until that devil jinxed them with his interference, and they should have just let him play without the star instead of trying to tarry some favor. And the whole thing reversed because I know they had to mess with the Americans' team morale and then really boost the other team to the point where they were really just really hyped to go out here and play that game. So
You're talking about
yeah, it's a
Trump,
whole
isn't
lot of
it?
drama this year.
When Trump intervened.
Yes.
But the point, what about you, Ernest? Did you get a chance to watch any of the Cup?
You know, I watched partially because I can't get into soccer really because I'm a track nut, you know, so track and field is my thing. So,
Yes,
but
man.
yeah, I watched a couple of the games, the highlights of it.
With some, I mean, that's a big field, and that's all they do is run. Linda,
Yeah.
you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the World Cup and see in Spain, the girls won the cup and the men?
Right. And
Yeah.
no, the answer to your question, no, I didn't get to watch it, but my nephew plays and he played professional. So he had me watching the news about it and I loved it. And I was so excited. I got more excited. Even though I didn't physically see it, I was reading about it, especially when I read about all them black people. I was like, this, yeah, we ruling the world as usual.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
And
good.
I'm sorry, but I'm glad you also said something about Trump because I say, see that fool, every time he enter in something, that's when we start losing, I tell you.
Thanks.
They even got on his case. They booed him about getting involved to give the championship trophy.
Yeah.
Because it took away from the team, they say. You know. Anyway. In 1960, Dr. Karenga said that the key crisis in Black people's life was a culture crisis, a crisis of views and values. Now, we had what we call the Black Congress, where most Black organizations in California, from up north and the south, all over California, attended the Black Congress. It was trying to develop a national unit. Well, unification of all organizations. And the diversity of us as a people was well there because the other people, they didn't want to change their lifestyle. They just wanted to be free from oppression, free from police brutality, free from racial discrimination. But they didn't want to be African or they didn't want to change their lifestyles, their values and virtues and ethics. It's like a challenge because the argument was that most people was looking at culture as food, music, and dance, when culture is about philosophy, a way of life, where you get your ethics from, where you get your interpersonal dynamics from your feelings, how you love. Your views of procreation, your views of just how you're gonna relate to each other, and so that's what was being argued in the 60s. But they taught you that from a philosophical standpoint, you go with that, okay, first of all, you begin to realize the importance of studying and dialoguing with others, like-minded people who want to discuss and cultivate themselves as far as their genealogy and their ethics. I mean, it's like wondering where life came from. You from a spiritual standpoint, there are a lot of people that don't believe that there's a God I believe that the earth was created and that there's life after death. There's a lot of people that don't believe in that, but there's many people that do. And so you want to know where, not from the spiritual standpoint of life after death, but where did you come from as a people? And what is your nature? And what is your origin? And do you draw from your ancestral richness? And as we call your AI, ancestral intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Do you draw from the history of your people as they strive to change the world, their world, or where they live, into their image, into their interest? And so it was a big argument about that, because most people in the 60s, all they wanted to do was just get the white man off their back. And they want to live like white people, hustle, do, capitalism. They just want freedom to be a man, being discriminated against, and from the prejudice, and excel in America. That's why you have some black people that are out American. They're better like Christians. Most African Christians or black Christians are more Christian than whites. Now you got millions of white people that's supposed to be Christians in this country, but they don't practice it. They go to church and they say they're Christians, but they discriminate. I think Martin Luther King used to say the most segregated day in America is Sunday, because white folks go to white churches, black people went to black churches. Now today you have integrated churches in certain communities, but it's still not on a wholesale level. But the point is that you're trying to get a consciousness of yourself and your identity so that you can free yourself, so that you can be yourself. You can go and go to a job interview with a dashiki, and they won't hold it against you because you don't have a suit and tie on. You can have cultural expressions and communications. And see family in a different way, versus how this country wants you to see family, the nuclear family, patriarchal men rule, versus one in which is African, whereas it's more matriarchal, where women rule, and it's a different dynamic. And how you emerge from matriarchal to a balancearchal, whereas men and women share power in the family and share power in the community. So the whole dynamic of culture is the theologizing and ritualization of your existence. In other words, we came up. Is there such thing as a black psychology or black culture? Yes, because you develop a cultural dynamic based upon your conditions, and we're in a racist condition. So therefore we develop a ritualization and a theologizing of our pigmentation or our skin, and turn it from negative to positive and growth. Now, let me give you an example. Black music is not a black person singing it. Black music is a song that theologizes or ritualizes the best of African people, that are tell narratives about the black experience, have a message in it. It's like a Christian song. It's about Jesus, a black song, and the positive aspects of Jesus. You know, Jesus can fix it. You know, Jesus is my friend. You know, it's that. All those songs, you don't hear, you're in a Christian church, you ain't gonna go in and hear them say that Jesus is the devil, and Jesus is don't exist, and things of that nature. They're gonna praise Jesus. Well, that's what black songs do. It praises our blackness. Our blackness is more than just pigmentation. It's color consciousness, color and consciousness, and behavior. So when we get that, dealing with culture and learning the ethics and values of culture, how you treat your children, how you raise your children. If you raise them the way white folks raise their children, you're going to have the same problem with other people have if you raise them to be American. But if you raise them to be black, through a value system that come from your tradition, your culture, teaching them, Ernest, it's like teaching your children the love of the black people, not kill them. Teaching them the importance of education and studying. Training them and disciplining them and rewarding them for how they excel and exemplify excellence. And that's the challenge with regards to a culture dynamic. The whole purpose of your culture is to be able to point out the best of you as an African people, your best thoughts, your best practice, your best sensitivities, as an African people. Now, most black people in America raise their children to be a Euro-Americans and try to get acceptance by white America, by our Americanism, learning their language, learning, and I ain't saying you shouldn't learn language to get jobs and to be able to matriculate through the college system, educational system, and being able to do that. But know who you are and know why you're learning that. And that it's like learning English as a second language. That's what Ebonics was. Ebonics was not speaking black language. It was about learning how to articulate, being taught English as a second language, like bilingual for Spanish. Many Latinos were learning English in public schools, but they also knew Spanish. And so they called it bilingual. Well, we are really, we didn't develop the bilingualness, but in a way in which we spoke, certain sounds we didn't make were not part of our African retention. Saying certain letters just came out different. And how we spoke and how we put different ways of speaking to each other. So that's what Ernie Smith and Robert Williams, who dealt with the term ebony, meaning black, phonics, meaning sounds, black sounds, as they said. And it was just a dynamic. But people thought it meant we were trying to legitimize a street talk. No. Ebonics was languages that we had that we retained through our African retention. Just like we keep some of our skin, our darkness, even though we came over here and mixed with white, we kept some of our darkness. That's one of your physical retentions that symbolize you African. There were other things that we retained, and that was Black sound, what we hear is different. That's why our rhythm, our music is different. Soul Train is different from American Bandstand. And those are the dynamics. But anyway, getting back to my point, we are at a situation where what philosophy that is black that you follow, that you live by? Is it Malcolm? Is it Martin Luther King's? And what makes you think it's distinguished? King, in his uniqueness, used the Christian religion as a tool for liberation struggle, for civil rights. And he wanted to make America better and make America treat black people better. Whereas, and that's a good thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But liberation is where we treat each other better, where we have a different vision of who we are. The white man taught us to hate ourselves from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Degradation. Deny ourselves and mutilate ourselves. In other words, we got black people that get operations on their nose, lips, and take bleaching creams and things of this nature trying to fit in. Whereas when you're conscious and know who you are, you see beauty in who you are as a person, physically and inwardly. And that's the challenge that we have from a cultural dynamic. It's not easy. It's not easy. And most black people reject it because they're taught self-hatred. And they're taught that, you know, they just, it's like, when we were fighting for freedom, people wanted to be free to hustle, free to just do American things, free to, they had what they called the American dream, own a house and kids, take them to Disneyland and take them on to the mountains and get a dog and all that type of stuff. Whereas from a cultural standpoint, you can want to different view of what you want out of life and how you're going to live out of life. And some of us develop a black culture and a racist dynamic by developing music, lifestyle to deal with us being in a racist dynamic, not an African dynamic. In America, it's a racist dynamic. And that's where black culture comes from. Black culture comes from us being treated in a racist. That's what Dr. Francis Cresswell seen, Neely Fuller, all those that,
Mr. Brown,
that. Yes.
Can I jump in a little bit?
Yes.
I want to bring something to what you said to the audience, to their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying, you were talking about the mutilation of their noses, and you know how people get surgery to make them, to take away their original appearance. And so lately I've been watching African movies, primarily Nigerian movies and a few South African movies, and you see most of the women, beautiful women, you see most of them have to put on the wigs, and then you do have the bleaching of the skin. So what I did was, and I'm gonna share it, I wrote a song, because I do the AI music now, and I wrote a song titled, let me show you. I can show you it. And it's the music is message music. I know it's an artificial intelligence, but it is message music. And I'm going to share it. I'm not going, I don't have to play it, but I just want to share the title. And, you know, let people be aware of, it's kind of validating what you're saying, Professor Ra. I'm pulling it up right now. It's right here. I just need to share it. Let me share it. And here it is. It's called Constructed Paradigm Influence. And it's talking exactly about what you just said, Professor Ra.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely a person shouldn't take their appearance and alter it for no reason at all. Now, I can see if you was born deformed or something and they had surgeries to correct your bone structure or something because it's so out of place. But because your nose is thicker or your lips is thicker, your skin is darker, it shouldn't be altered because that's who you are. But we've been under this construction of what's beauty, the paradigm. And that's why I wrote the song. I encourage people to listen to it. The words are going right along with the song. And it's speaking of things that Professor Ra mentioned. I just wanted to share that, Professor Ra.
Are you going to play it?
You want to hear it?
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay. I didn't know if y'all wanted to hear it. I got to put the sound on, share sound. All right, here it goes. You tell me when you want me to cut it. Can you hear it? Are you able to hear it?
Yeah.
People are sensitive through constructed pattern thoughts. Many times they hear things that reshape what they were taught. Damage elders project what they learn, pass it on. Even when the mess is twisted, even when it's wrong. Telling you things that make you weak, tear you down inside. When they're supposed to build you up, give you strength and pride. In this life, people molded by the words they receive. If the source is full of poison, it distorts what you believe. If the information corrupted, then the structure falls apart. The paradigm standard built, but it poisons the heart. Fed with incorrectness, you won't get far. So recognize the influence shaping who you are. Constructed paradigm influence. Tell me what's controlling you. Is it truth or an illusion? Breaking down your point of view. Mental strength determines life fulfillment. What you hold inside is the realest movement. Constructed paradigm influence. Find your balance, find your truth. Have you ever been told that you're ugly? Not enough, too dark, hair too thick, or your features too rough? Do you know about mental slavery, deep-rooted chains, colonialism, subjugation, living in the brain? Racial discrimination shaping what we see. A system built to break identity mentally. These things are construction, powered by destruction, creating life disruption, tearing down your function. Out of chaos came a standard false beauty defined. God is hidden, our reflection disconnected in the mind. Brainwashed not to love the natural form we're in. When you look into the mirror, who you see within? Yeah. Constructed paradigm influence. Tell me what's controlling you. Is it truth or an illusion? Breaking down your point of view. Mental strength determines life fulfillment. What you hold inside is the realest movement. Constructed paradigm influence.
not like himself, that's not the way. Right now, listen close to what I got to say. You were born the way you are, that's reality. Learn acceptance, that's the path to clarity. And on that self-love track, don't look back. Use logic as a tool, keep your mind intact. Learn from nature, it's the realest guide. It'll take you where you need, no need to hide. A sound mental state gives tools to relate. Helps you grow steady at a natural rate. No need to rush when the roots run deep. Plant good seeds in the mind you keep. External voices try to break your will, but life ain't meant for you to stand still. Health in the mind is the ultimate wealth. True elevation starts with love and self. Construct a paradigm, influence. Let it be nature at its best. With balance and healthy congruence, put your spirit to the test. Hey. Mental strength determines life fulfillment. Truth and clarity become your movement. Construct a paradigm, influence. Rise above and manifest. Far behind, truth within is what you prove. That's the power of how you move.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Wow.
You tried to put some encouragement in the song, you know? So well,
you wrote that?
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I wrote all the concepts and words. I just used ChatGPT to form it in a song.
But I put love it in song form.
You had something to say, Ernest? Did you have something to say, Ernest?
Oh, no. I was just asking who was that lead singing the song.
That's that's artificial intelligence, Ernest.
Oh.
It's all generated from artificial intelligence. I just put it together with.
See,
I put it all together though. It's you build it. It's like a puzzle that you build.
Yeah, I want to get a copy of that.
It's right there on YouTube. You can hear it anytime you want.
All righty.
And what was the title of it again?
Because Constructed Paradigm Influence.
Thank you.
So they constructed this false way of, you know, I mean, they it's like a beauty standard that they put together. And, you know, they, you know, a lot of people ascribe to a certain standard of beauty, but, you know, it's a lot of it could be propaganda because a lot of people see beauty in all shapes and forms. So, it, you know.
And in the 60s. In the late 60s, during the Black movement, we had plenty of songs like that. Black Pearl, by a Black Girl, and we had, you know, Keep On Pushing, you know, We a Winner, you understand? I mean, there was always a song with a message, ritualizing our Blackness and cultivating good and beauty of us as a people. And this, it's like this. How do we get to the point where we don't raise our children and make it mandatory that they learn to love themselves and love other Black people, respect them, don't fight them, don't sell them dope, don't steal from them, don't rob from them, abuse, and this is a different value system. In America, the only thing you get upset about is getting caught. If you can get away with it, it's all right. You understand? Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
America is going around now talking about Trump gave a speech about people interfering with their election. And they're so upset by Russian, Chinese, Venezuelan, according to Trump. But here he is going to arrest the president of Venezuela. He did that for the Panama. They arrested the man in Panama years ago. They went into Iraq to try to rebuild that country. They're doing the same thing with Cuba, with the blockade. It's okay for them to go in, right now. They're saying that in Cuba, Cuba poses a threat to America because they are influencing black organizations, civil rights organizations, and that they are being a subsidiary, meaning indifference to American values, and that poses a threat. And that justifies them putting up a blockade where no oil can get into Cuba. They can't hardly do operations. They have no power. And no cars are being driven because they don't have gas. They have to use wood to cook. And they don't understand why the people haven't submitted yet. I want you to understand the hypocrisy of America, the hypocrisy to elect a president with 14 felons, convicted of 14 counts, a man that was impeached twice, a man that led an insurrection, a man that lost a lawsuit for sexual assault, and things of this nature, and they elect the president, and they got the nerve to say that we're good people. You see what I'm saying? That, as Malcolm said, American democracy is nothing other than disguised hypocrisy. And so do we live a different life? You understand? We got black women wearing white, blonde hair, pink hair, putting diamonds and earrings all in their noses and tattoos. Where did they get this from? This is not their culture. You understand? It had nothing to do with their value system. And the same thing with the young men walking around with no shirts on and getting a gang banging. Every group of explorers were gang, and Europeans. The pilgrims were a gang. Columbus was a gang. They came over here to steal and rob. They didn't come over here looking for new land to settle and get along with the people. They came over here to replace the people. And they replaced our culture, our values. And now we're carrying theirs. And so it's a challenge to get our young people to see themselves as a unique and special people, as Amos Wilson would say, from that standpoint. I hear you have a comment.
No, I just wanted to make present that to you about the Save American Act, and ask you what do you think about that? Did Congress pass that today, and its implications?
Well, first of all, every election that ever was in this country was rigged. For when it first started, only white men could vote. Women didn't even get the right to vote till the 1920s. And we voted for as long as your vote did not vote white folks. That's where 3/5 came in on winning in the South, especially in the Carolinas. We outnumbered the whites. So they would say only 3/5 of us can vote. They always read. Saying who can vote and who can't vote, from poll taxes that you have to be a property owner and all that type of stuff. How are you going to set up a political system in this country and don't include the Native American? And then, as you was writing, all men are created equal. You didn't include African people. That was here too. It was in the room when you was writing it, but they were enslaved. So the same thing with the American, what you call it, Save America Act. It's all designed for white supremacy. As they see that there's a multitude of ethnic and racial people here that can vote, they want to exclude them. And so they come up with the, you got to have, prove you're a citizen. What? But you can't just have a driver's license. You gotta have your birth certificate or passport or, you know, it ain't about, well, I voted for 10 years. No. No mail-in ballots. When the same guy, he didn't vote mail-in the last 3 or 4 elections itself. See, you see the hypocrisy. It's all designed to keep white people in power. That's what the Electoral College is about. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College. You understand? It's just a bunch of hypocrisy. As long as white people are in power, Democrat or Republican, they don't care. And the Democrats are just as racist as the Republicans. And Malcolm said, Republicans are wolves. They're wolves. And Democrats are foxes. They're both canines, and they both belong to the dog family. And that's very important. But our people don't see it. I mean, they brainwash them so bad that they actually be believing these people. The Native Americans say they spoke with Fark tongue. They had 250 treaties with the Native American. The Native American kept everyone. America broke everyone. You understand? We fought in every war under the auspices that we would get a freedom if we helped them. That was their agreement. And then after the war, they didn't do it. I just want you to see it from that standpoint. You understand? So, y'all, that's just another thing for Trump and a mega bunch to just solidify their white power. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No. What do you think about it?
Well, I think that, and I'm sure they got people to handle the numbers with these right wingers, in their attempt to disenfranchise the lower income and the rural residents, and you know, women who got married and changed their names. The last I checked, there was more white folk that were in those categories than any others. So, I mean, it may just backfire on them. But yes, it is going to disenfranchise a lot of black, because who got money? A lot of folks don't have, black folks don't have the money to get a passport. You know, that's not, you know, they just got some, you know, some extra cash around just to get a passport. And then the process itself. How long is it going to take to get that passport? What do you need? Heck, to get a Social Security card, look what you got to go through to get that. Then you got to go and get your birth certificate. That may not be in a area in near you. You know, you may have to do that through the mail. Yeah, it's going to disenfranchise a lot of our people. But his people not immune to that either.
But listen, there's a lot of men that have changed. I changed my name. I was Arthur Montgomery Jr. And I changed my name in 1974. I didn't go down to the court and change it. Because the only time you have to go to court to change your name is when you try to change documents, transcripts, deed to your property, that type of stuff. That's when you go to court. But when you just changing your name, you just keep the same Social Security card, the same Social Security. And you're allowed to have aliases. People have a lot of aliases. You understand?
Well, so if that's the case, if the Senate turn around and pass this thing too, then they're going to be a lot of brothers and sisters standing on the sideline.
That's what they want.
Yeah, that's exactly what they want. And that's twofold, not only for white supremacy, but for knuckleheads on survival. Because he knows that he's the whole world is waiting for him. He's not only wanted in his own country, but you know, there's plenty of places outside this country he cannot go.
Yeah, but
you know, once he becomes a civilian. So
let me give you an example. I mean, let's say you live in California, but you was born in Texas. You can't get your birth certificate unless you get it from Texas. How you going to go all the way to Texas if you ain't got no money? I mean, even if you got your name and they only require certain documents, and one of them is a birth certificate, which even Obama had his birth certificate and he still said he wasn't born here. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's all a game, man. He don't care about that. He just trying to keep from getting impeached and getting investigated and trying to cut down on the amount of people that want to vote him out of office. You see? But people don't see it. You'd be surprised at the black people that support that. They believe Mexicans are taking over their job. I mean, I had brothers say, the Mexicans that took over the projects. Well, brother, I mean, how can you say that? They ain't took over nothing. The European is the one written to them. They're
just
the one.
They turn because they rented to you.
Pass a law that if your son, as a black person, commit a felony, then they can kick you out. You understand? Mm. They passed that law. You understand? See the beauty of education, Ernest and Linda, is, as Malcolm said, once the man taught me to let me learn how to read, it's what you reading. If you only read what he wants you to read for a job, you're going to be lost. You understand? But read to make life better for yourself in the condition you're in. You know, it's like, do we vote for personalities or do we vote for conditions? You got what they call democratic socialists now. You got Madani in New York saying that he want to arrest Netanyahu if he comes out here because he has a warrant from the International Court for crimes against humanity, what he's done to Gaza. And what did the United States say? Well, we go investigate the court and put in sanctions against the court for indicting Nauru and criticizing America for giving their role in the genocide, for giving Israel the bombs to destroy Gaza. So what do? They attack the court. Now, you know, if the court was doing what they wanted, it'd be all right. But if you criticize them, then the court ain't no good. You understand? And that's the dynamic that we're dealing with. You see, the key to it is, should we vote yes for conditions, not personalities? The only reason Hillary didn't win, because not because she started late, not because Trump was talking economics and they didn't like Biden, and Biden messed up the country. That wasn't the reason they voted for Trump. They didn't want a black woman to be in there. You understand? But they don't want to say that. They come up with every excuse why Trump was elected. Oh, he was elected because he promised to not go into wars, and he promised to lower our cost of living and get rid of inflation. That's all a lie. They voted for him because he symbolizes white supremacy. That's what he tell him that. He won't let no other people in, but he sends for white South Africans. Give them money, give them refugee status, and help them get into this country and get settled. Y'all don't see that. From that standpoint, how do you see it, Ernest?
About the same way, you know, because I do not understand, just like my daughter's kind of telling me about a lot of these Democrats in that mega. They've been funded by Israel, so to speak, and then and then they're always crying about how poor Israel is, and they picking on us. And to me, you guys are murderers, because why are you trying to annihilate another race, you know, with this starting this war, and then they drug us into it, you know, to do the fighting for them. So it's, you know.
Yeah, Jews are not a race. That's a religion.
Right.
These are white people.
The Israelis.
Say that they are Jews. But white supremacy comes. The same way America took this country, it's the same way the white Zionists are trying to take over Palestine. See? And it's always about land. It's always about the land. Now they're occupying southern Lebanon. Their borders have expanded ever since the 1966 war. They have taken land. The West Bank is Palestine. Gaza is Palestine. Israel is Palestine. All of that was Palestine up until 1948. And they're trying to put them people on reservations.
Ever since they've been pushing, getting more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Free land, free houses, you know. But most of our people are not taught this. And most of our politicians belong to the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party relies on AIPAC and major Jewish people. If you this is the only group of people that you can't criticize. You be told that you are anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And there's two definitions to Semitic. Francis Crest Wellstein say, Semitic means semi. meaning they're mixed people. Semitic, some people say Semitic meaning a language, and that means the Arabs, and the Arabs are Semitic people. But you know, I'm not going to get into all of that. I just want y'all to see, open up your eyes, and understand that the whole goal of this present administration is to stay in power and to get as rich as they can. Rich as they can. Greed. Could you imagine that? A man want to be a trillionaire. For what? You can't take it with you.
That's right.
You cannot take the money with you. You understand? I mean, but it means power to people who enslave themselves to be next to you. That's the dynamic that we are faced with. You understand? So our consciousness, and what do we do about it? If we live a different life, don't drink, don't learn to cook at home instead of fast food plates. There are none but crack houses. That's all the fast food joints are. That's why there's so many of them. That's why they give you sales on fast food. You understand? Learn to discipline yourself. Malcolm said we can have a bloodless revolution. And what do you mean by bloodless? He said most revolutions are bloody, but we can have a bloodless by just changing our ways. Just changing our ways. Look what we did when we decided not to ride the bus in Montgomery. After a year, and they saw we wasn't going to stop, what did they do? Oh, y'all can get on the bus. Now we got black people that own buses. You see what I'm saying? But do you, I mean, we'll get into a lot of this next. I'm going to have somebody from Black Lives Matter on my show next week. Somebody from the Black Political Association. We'll try to get the mayor of Compton or the assemblyman to speak at our. To speak on our program, and next week, Roger Keith, bring us on in.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We don't have a show tomorrow or next Wednesday, but okay. We do have Roots Reggae Reasoning coming up, and we supposed to have a show on Sunday, but I haven't got all the information for that. But anyway, it'll be on the website.
All right.
All right, each one teach one in Black Conscious Corner. Thanks for attending, everybody.
Ernest, go ahead. You had a comment? Or are you just saying bye?
Yeah, that's, I didn't have nothing.
All right.
All right.
And then everybody.